Chapter 6, Nurturing and Training Workers. Church spirituality and growth proportionate to missionary zeal of members. The piety and advanced spiritual knowledge and growth of a church is proportionate to the zeal, piety, and missionary intelligence that has been brought into it, and carried out of it to be a blessing to the very ones who need our assistance the most. Again I urge you to consider, which opens a wide and extensive vineyard to be worked upon the lines which the Lord has pointed out. When this is done, there will be an increase of moral sources, and the church will no more remain almost stationary. Spiritual growth results from active service. Every church member should be engaged in some line of service for the Master. Some cannot do so much as others, but everyone should do his utmost to roll back the tide of disease and distress that is sweeping over our world. Nothing will so arouse a self-sacrificing zeal and broaden and strengthen the character as to engage in work for others. Many professed Christians, in seeking church relationship, think only of themselves. They wish to enjoy church fellowship and pastoral care. They become members of large and prosperous churches, and are content to do little for others. In this way they are robbing themselves of the most precious blessings. Trees that are crowded closely together do not grow healthfully and sturdily. The gardener transplants them that they may have room to develop. A similar work would benefit many of the members of large churches. They need to be placed where their energies will be called forth in active Christian effort. They are losing their spiritual life, becoming dwarfed and inefficient, for want of self-sacrificing labor for others. Transplanted to some missionary field, they would grow strong and vigorous. But none need wait until called to some distant field before beginning to help others. Doors of service are open everywhere. All around us are those who need our help. The widow, the orphan, the sick and the dying, the heartsick, the discouraged, the ignorant, and the outcast are on every hand. 1905. Christ, the perfect pattern. Christ's character, not just preaching, needed. I attended the morning ministers' meeting. The blessing of the Lord came upon me, and I spoke in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power. There are those who are working out a great circle. The Lord has given Christ to the world for ministry. Merely to preach the word is not ministry. The Lord desires His ministering servants to occupy a place worthy of the highest consideration. In the mind of God, the ministry of men and women existed before the world was created. He determined that His ministers should have a perfect exemplification of Himself and His purposes. No human career could do this work, for God gave Christ in humanity to work out His ideal of what humanity may become through entire obedience to His will and way. God's character was revealed in the life of His Son. Christ not only held a theory of genuine ministry, but in His humanity He wrought out an illustration of the ministry that God approves. Perfection has marked out every feature of true ministry. Christ, the Son of the living God, did not live unto Himself, but unto God. Christ abased Himself to raise sinners to nobler life. When we view the generosity of Christ to the poor and suffering, His patience with the rude and ignorant, His self-denial and sacrifice, we are lost in admiration and reverence. What a gift has God lavished upon man, alienated from Him by sin and disobedience. Well may the heart break and the tears flow in contemplation of such inexpressible love. Christ abased Himself to humanity that He might reach man sunken into the depths of woe and degradation, and lift him into a nobler life. 1877. Traits for effective witnessing. Demonstration of genuine Christianity. The world needs evidences of sincere Christianity. The poison of sin is at work at the heart of society. Cities and towns are steeped in sin and moral corruption. The world is full of sickness, suffering, and iniquity. Nigh and afar off are souls in poverty and distress, weighed down with a sense of guilt and perishing for want of a saving influence. The gospel of truth is kept ever before them, yet they perish because the example of those who should be a savor of life to them is a savor of death. Their souls drink in bitterness because the springs are poisoned, when they should be like a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Salt must be mingled with the substance to which it is added, it must penetrate, infuse it, that it may be preserved. So it is through personal contact and association that men are reached by the saving power of the gospel. They are not saved as masses, but as individuals. Personal influence is a power. It is to work with the influence of Christ, to lift where Christ lifts, to impart correct principles, and to stay the progress of the world's corruption. It is to diffuse that grace which Christ alone can impart. It is to uplift, to sweeten the lives and characters of others by the power of a pure example united with earnest faith and love. 1917. All selfishness to be eradicated. If Seventh-day Adventists will now arouse and do the work assigned them, the truth will be presented to our neglected cities in clear, distinct lines and in the power of the Spirit. When wholehearted work is done, the efficacy of the grace of Christ will be seen. The watchmen on the walls of Zion are to be wide awake, and they are to arouse others. God's people are to be so earnest and faithful in their work for Him that all selfishness will be separated from their lives. His workers will then see eye to eye, and, the power of which was seen in the life of Christ, will be revealed. Confidence will be restored, and there will be unity in the churches throughout our ranks. 1909. Ministers to befriend the poor. Every gospel minister should be a friend to the poor, the afflicted, and the oppressed among God's believing people. Christ was always the poor man's friend, and the interests of the poor need to be sacredly guarded. There has too often been a wonderful dearth of Christ's compassion and loving interest in the poor and afflicted. Love, sacred, refined love, is to be exercised in behalf of the poor and unfortunate. Educated workers essential for city work. Cultivated intellects, not novices, needed. Cultivated intellects are now needed in every part of the work of God, for novices cannot do the work acceptably in unfolding the hidden treasure to enrich souls. God has devised that schools shall be an instrumentality for developing workers for Jesus Christ of whom He will not be ashamed, and this object must ever be kept in view. The height man may reach by proper culture has not hitherto been realized. We have among us more than an average of men of ability. If their capabilities were brought into use, we should have 20 ministers where we now have one. Physicians, too, would be educated to battle with disease. 1895. Thoughtful, prayerful study of human nature needed. It requires a knowledge of human nature, close study, careful thought, and earnest prayer, to know how to approach men and women on the great subjects that concern their eternal welfare. 1915. Understanding of humanity needed. He who seeks to transform humanity must himself understand humanity. Only through sympathy, faith, and love can men be reached and uplifted. 1903. Mental culture needed. Mental culture is what we as a people need, and what we must have in order to meet the demands of the time. 1880. Continued growth important. Men in responsible positions should improve continually. They must not anchor upon an old experience and feel that it is not necessary to become scientific workers. 1876. Scientific education important. I have written to him, W. C. White, in regard to the students, and have impressed upon him the necessity of expediency in the matter of gaining an education in any scientific lines. This has all been opened up to me for some time, and I have spoken to several concerning the necessity of waking up on this matter. Men and women needed in various ministries. Ministry of all types is highest work. The highest of all work is the ministry in its various lines, and it should be kept before the youth that there is no work more blessed of God than that of the gospel minister. Let not our young men be deterred from entering the ministry. There is danger that through glowing representation some will be drawn out of the path where God bids them walk. Some have been encouraged to take a course of study in medical lines who ought to be preparing themselves to enter the ministry. The Lord calls for more men to labor in His vineyard. The words were spoken, "Strengthen the outposts, have faithful sentinels in every part of the world." God calls for you, young men. He calls for whole armies of young men who are large-hearted and large-minded, and who have a deep love for Christ and the truth. Volunteers needed to do evangelistic work. The Lord calls for volunteers who will take their stand firmly on His side and will pledge themselves to unite with Jesus of Nazareth in doing the work that needs to be done now, just now. The talents of God's people are to be employed in giving the last message of mercy to the world. The Lord calls upon those connected with our schools and sanitariums and publishing houses to teach the youth to do evangelistic work. Our time and money must not be so largely employed in establishing sanitariums, food factories, food stores, and restaurants that other lines of work shall be neglected. Young men and women who should be engaged in the ministry, in Bible work, and in the canvassing work should not be bound down to mechanical employment. 1913. Self-supporting missionaries. Self-supporting workers needed for unentered territories. In many places, self-supporting missionaries can work successfully. It was as a self-supporting missionary that the Apostle Paul labored in spreading the knowledge of Christ throughout the world. While daily teaching the gospel in the great cities of Asia and Europe, he wrought at the trade of a craftsman to sustain himself and his companions. Throughout the world, messengers of mercy are needed. There is a call for Christian families to go into communities that are in darkness and error, to go to foreign fields, to become acquainted with the needs of their fellow men, and to work for the cause of the Master. If such families would settle in the dark places of the earth, places where the people are enshrouded in spiritual gloom, and let the light of Christ's life shine out through them, what a noble work might be accomplished. 1905. God accepts even limited talents in service for others. Are there not men and women in this congregation who have a work to do for the Master? Are there not those here who should go into new places and work as missionaries? We need missionaries at home, and we need missionaries who will go out into new fields, and see what they can do. Trade upon your one talent or two talents. Although your talents may be limited, God will accept them. Why bury them in the earth? Go to work, and do your best, and God will give you some fruit for your labor. Oh, I would rather come to the Master with garnered sheaves than to have treasures of gold and of silver. Give me souls as the fruit of my labor, and I will not ask for convenience or ease in this world. Are there not men and women here whom God will call to give an account for the ability He has lent them? There are souls for whom you are to work, there are youth with whom you are to plead. There is work to be done in the temperance line, and here you sit, from Sabbath to Sabbath, listening to the truth, while souls are perishing around you. Why not let the light which God has given you shine on the pathway of others? I beg you to consider this matter seriously. Spirit of self-sacrifice needed. Work in same self-sacrificing spirit as in beginning. Work is to be done in all parts of the vineyard. In the early days of the message, a right beginning was made, but work has not developed as God desired it to develop. Too much has been centered in Battle Creek and Oakland, and in a few other places. Our brethren should never have built so largely in one place as they have in Battle Creek. In many fields, very little has been done to establish memorials for God. This is wrong. Years ago, very many of our workers and people had the spirit of self-denial and self-sacrifice. Success attended their efforts. The Lord has signified that His work should be carried forward in the same spirit in which it was begun. The world is to be warned. Field after field is still unworked. Shall we as a people, by our actions, our business arrangements, our attitude toward a world unsaved, bear a testimony altogether different from the testimony borne by us 20 or 30 years ago? Shall we give evidence of spiritual disease and a lack of wise planning? upon us has shone great light in regard to the last days of this earth's history. The sight of the souls perishing in sin should arouse us to give the light of present truth to those now in darkness. God's messengers must be clothed with power. They must have for the truth a reverence that they do not now possess. The Lord's solemn, sacred message of warning must be proclaimed not merely in our churches, but in the most difficult fields and in the most sinful cities, in every place where the light of the third angel's message has not yet dawned. Everyone is to hear the last call to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Infusion of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit empowers workers. All who desire an opportunity for true ministry, and who will give themselves unreservedly to God, will find in the canvassing work opportunities to speak upon many things pertaining to the future, immortal life. The experience thus gained will be of the greatest value to those who are fitting themselves for the ministry. It is the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit of God that prepares workers, both men and women, to become pastors to the flock of God. As they cherish the thought that Christ is their companion, a holy awe, a sacred joy, will be felt by them amid all their trying experiences and all their tests. They will learn how to pray as they work. They will be educated in patience, kindness, affability, and helpfulness. They will practice true Christian courtesy, bearing in mind that Christ, their companion, cannot approve of harsh, unkind words or feelings. Their words will be purified. The power of speech will be regarded as a precious talent, lent them to do a high and holy work. The human agent will learn how to represent the divine companion with whom he is associated. To that unseen Holy One he will show respect and reverence because he is wearing his yoke and is learning his pure, holy ways. Those who have faith in this divine attendant will develop. They will be gifted with power to clothe the message of truth with a sacred beauty. 1900. Preparing medical missionaries. Qualified ministers and physicians are both needed. I am pleased that there are those who desire to be medical missionaries. But all cannot be medical missionaries in the whole sense in which it is now carried. There are those who must be qualified for the work to be done now in bringing the last message of warning to all cities and in all towns in all parts of our world. They cannot engage themselves for a stated number of years to learn the work of a medical missionary. While some feel that this is their work and choose to put themselves under training for this work, others feel that they must train themselves to be faithful ministers, skillful shepherds of the flock of God, that they may bring from the storehouse meat in due season for sheep and lambs. Missionary nurses to be educated by physicians. In our schools, missionary nurses should receive lessons from well-qualified physicians, and as a part of their education should learn how to battle with disease and to show the value of nature's remedies. This work is greatly needed. God calls for reformers to stand in defense of the law which He has established to govern the physical system. They should at the same time maintain an elevated standard in the training of the mind and the culture of the heart, that the great physician may cooperate with the human helping hand in doing a work of mercy and necessity in the relief of suffering. 1900. Youth to be trained to do city work. Youth are most able to minister to people's needs. If the young men in our cities would unite their efforts to discountenance ungodliness and crime, their influence would greatly advance the cause of reform. It is the privilege and the duty of every youth, as an angel of mercy, to minister to the wants and woes of mankind. There is no class that can achieve greater results for God and humanity than the young. Youth to be taught to be useful adults. The true motive of service is to be kept before old and young. The students are to be taught in such a way that they will develop into useful men and women. Every means that will elevate and ennoble them is to be employed. They are to be taught to put their powers to the best use. Youth to be blessing to society. Students at school should have had their moral sensibilities aroused to see and feel that society has claims upon them, and that they should live in obedience to natural law, so that they can, by their existence and influence, by precept and example, be an advantage and blessing to society. It should be impressed upon the youth that all have an influence that is constantly telling upon society, to improve and elevate, or to lower and debase. 1913. Youth will have God's help. God will help our youth as He helped Daniel, if they will make the unreserved surrender of the will to Him that Daniel made, and will appreciate the opportunities of growing in understanding. He will give them wisdom and knowledge, and will fill their hearts with unselfishness. He will put into their minds plans of enlargement, and will inspire them with hope and courage as they seek to bring others under the sway of the Prince of Peace. Competent leaders to uphold high ideals before young workers. More attention should be given to training and educating missionaries with a special reference to work in the cities. Each company of workers should be under the direction of a competent leader, and it should ever be kept before them that they are to be missionaries in the highest sense of the term. Such systematic labor, wisely conducted, would produce blessed results. Something has been done in this line, but too frequently the work has dwindled down, and nothing permanent has been accomplished. There is need now of earnest labor. The young men who go forth in the employ of the General Conference are to understand that they are not merely to preach, but to minister, to act like men who are weighted with solemn responsibility to seek and to save that which is lost. Youth learn from working with experienced workers. Many young men who have had the right kind of education at home are to be trained for service and encouraged to lift the standard of truth in new places by well-planned and faithful work. By associating with our ministers and experienced workers in city work, they will gain the best kind of training. Acting under divine guidance and sustained by the prayers of their more experienced fellow workers, they may do a good and blessed work. As they unite their labors with those of the older workers, using their youthful energies to the very best account, they will have the companionship of heavenly angels, and as workers together with God, it is their privilege to sing and pray and believe, and work with courage and freedom. The confidence and trust that the presence of heavenly agencies will bring to them and to their fellow workers will lead to prayer and praise and the simplicity of true faith. There should be no delay in this well-planned effort to educate the church members. Persons should be chosen to labor in the large cities who are fully consecrated and who understand the sacredness and importance of the work. Do not send those who are not qualified in these respects. Men are needed who will push the triumphs of the cross, who will persevere under discouragements and privations, who will have the zeal and resolution and faith that are indispensable to the missionary field. And to those who do not engage personally in the work, I would say, do not hinder those who are willing to work, but give them encouragement and support. 1909. Experienced workers to accompany youthful medical missionaries. There is a grand work to be done in relieving suffering humanity, and through the labors of students who are receiving an education and training to become efficient medical missionaries, the people living in many cities may become acquainted with the truths of the third angel's message. Consecrated leaders and teachers of experience should go out with these young workers at first, giving them instruction how to labor. When favors of food are offered by those who fear and honor God, these favors may be accepted. Thus opportunity will be found for conversation, for explaining the scriptures, for singing Bible songs and praying with the family. There are many to whom such labor as this would prove a blessing. 1906. Married couples to supervise young workers. There should be connected with the mission married persons who will conduct themselves with the strictest propriety. Even though the men and women at the head of our missions are in character as pure as fine gold, they need constant connection with God in order to keep themselves pure and to know how to manage the youth discreetly, so that all shall keep their thoughts untainted, uncorrupted. Let the lessons be of an elevated, ennobling character, that the mind may be filled with pure and noble thoughts. Education of young workers to be thorough. Wise, experienced teachers will be needed, to teach in the new college in Washington, D.C., men and women who can give the youth lessons in business lines, and who can teach them, also, how to do true missionary work. Nothing is to be neglected that will give a thorough training in right principles. frivolous young workers denigrate outreach efforts. The Lord has many precious souls in our large cities, who should be reached by the special truths for this time. But the course pursued by young men and young women connected with the mission is frivolous, degrading the work, and demoralizing the mission. Such defective characters separate God from the mission rooms. It does not require weeks or months to read the character of many of the workers. Their conduct is an offense to God. There are wrongs existing in society which Christians will not practice, but abhor. Let those who are frivolous and carnally minded be placed in our missions, and their influence tends to lower everything connected with the mission. City Evangelism Training Schools. Focus needed on preparing city workers. As a people, we are not doing 1/50th of what we might do as active missionaries. If we were only vitalized by the Holy Spirit, there should be 100 missionaries where there is now one. In every city there should be a core of organized, well-disciplined workers, not merely one or two, but scores should be set to work. More attention should be given to training and educating missionaries with special reference to work in cities. Home-like setting good for training missionary workers. Brother and sister, Stephen and Hetty Haskell have rented a house in one of the best parts of the city, Nashville, and have gathered round them a family of helpers, who day by day go out giving Bible readings, selling our papers, and doing medical missionary work. During the hour of worship, the workers relate their experiences. Bible studies are regularly conducted in the home, and the young men and young women connected with the mission receive a practical, thorough training in holding Bible readings and in selling our publications. The Lord has blessed their labors, a number have embraced the truth, and many others are deeply interested. It was in this way that the fishermen who left their nets at the call of Christ were trained. A similar work should be done in many cities. The young people who go out to labor in these cities should be under the direction of experienced, consecrated leaders. Let the workers be provided with a good home, in which they may receive thorough training. The Lord has a precious, sacred work of soul-saving to be done in the world, and it is to be done now. This work is to be carried forward on a higher plane of individual responsibility than ever before. Training to include personal labor and public meetings. Of equal importance with public effort is house-to-house work in the homes of the people. In large cities there are certain classes who cannot be reached by public meetings. These must be searched out as the shepherd searches for his lost sheep. Diligent personal effort must be put forth in their behalf. When personal work is neglected, many precious opportunities are lost, which, were they improved, would advance the work decidedly. Again, as the result of the presentation of truth in large congregations, a spirit of inquiry is awakened, and it is especially important that this interest be followed by personal labor. Those who desire to investigate the truth need to be taught to study diligently the Word of God. Someone must help them to build on a sure foundation. At this critical time in their religious experience, how important it is that wisely directed Bible workers come to their help, and open to their understanding the treasure house of God's Word. A well-balanced work can be carried on best in the cities when a Bible school for the training of workers is in progress while public meetings are being held. Connected with this training school or city mission should be experienced laborers of deep spiritual understanding, who can give the Bible workers daily instruction, and who can also unite wholeheartedly in the general public effort. And as men and women are converted to the truth, those standing at the head of the mission should, with much prayer, show these new converts how to experience the power of the truth in their hearts. Such a mission, if conducted by those who know how to manage wisely, will be a light shining in a dark place. 1915. Education contracts. Training to be coupled with service contract. Before persons are admitted to our mission training schools, let there be a written agreement that after receiving their education they will give themselves to the work for a specified time. This is the only way that our missions can be made what they should be. Let those who connect themselves with the missions be straightforward, and take hold of the work in a business-like manner. Those who are controlled by a sense of duty, who daily seek wisdom and help from God, will act intelligently, not from selfish motives, but from the love of Christ and the truth. Such will not hesitate to give themselves unreservedly, soul, body, and spirit, to the work. They will study, work, and pray for its advancement. City evangelism experience needed. Experience in city evangelism strengthens faith. Those who have crowded into Battle Creek and are being held there see and hear many things that tend to weaken their faith and engender unbelief. They would gain a more practical knowledge in an effort to impart to others that which they receive of the Word of God. They should scatter out and be working in all our cities under the training of men who are sound in the faith. If those who teach these workers are true and loyal, a great work will be accomplished. There is to be a working of our cities as they never have been worked. That which should have been done 20, yea, more than 20 years ago, is now to be done speedily. The work will be more difficult to do now than it would have been years ago, but it will be done. Our work is made exceedingly hard because of many false theories that have to be met, and because of the dearth of efficient teachers and willing helpers. Refusal to use talents eventually renders them useless. You may fold your hands saying, "I am only a lay member of the church, it is a hopeless task for me to undertake." But have you yoked up with Christ? Are you laboring in His way? Oh, let it no longer be a source of grief to the heavenly intelligences and to Him who has paid such an infinite price for souls, that you refuse to be channels of light, that you refuse to cooperate with the heavenly agencies for the salvation of souls. But let us awake out of sleep, and put all our God-given abilities into the work, that it may be written in the books that we are redeeming the time, because the days are evil. If we keep our talents inactive, we lose all ability to make use of them. The mind is a gift of God, designed to be improved and developed, that we may be able to enlighten others, but it may be perverted and misused in doing Satan's work. The age not to be assigned to work in cities. City ministry not advisable for elderly or feeble. Feeble or aged men and women should not be sent to labor in unhealthful, crowded cities. Let them labor where their lives will not be needlessly sacrificed. Our brethren who bring the truth to the cities must not be obliged to imperil their health in the noise and bustle and confusion, if retired places can be secured.